Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust. Member FDIC.
The Zen Man.
And I know you got to be a little tired, Matt, so we appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. How you feeling, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. No, I'm good. We didn't get in until about 5 last night, so came up here, got busy on the computer, getting stuff printed out on Gonzaga and getting organized and everyone else, Duke, Tech, everybody, and just trying to get all your notes together. And got home last night, got a little bit of, talked on the phone a lot, and it's good. I'm at the foundation right now. They're having meetings and planning, and everything's good. So it's fun right now. Anytime you're in the Sweet 16, you're just running on adrenaline, and it's just a good time.
Well, Matthew, when you looked at all those pieces of paper coming off your printer and all that, what's a couple of those things that just jumped right out at you about Gonzaga?
Well, it's kind of unique. You know, they won games in a whole lot of different ways in how they played throughout the season. Of course, they're 28-3. They've had this great season. But, like, when they played, if you watched their game against Texas, which was a home game for them, you know, it's obviously much different when you're playing at home. But they're not a physical team. But in that game, they got a little physical because Chris Beard and Texas, they like to beat you up and get physical. And it was actually kind of a high-scoring, fun game. And both teams hit each other and were aggressive, and it was like 86-74. Then you look at some of their other games, and it was much more of a grinded-out game. Like everybody else in their losses, you try to look and see what did they do during their losses. They got out-rebounded in those. They kind of seemed like the other teams were just much more physical than they were, and they're not the most physical team. Alabama beat them, Duke beat them, and then St. Mary's beat them, so you know, in the St. Mary's game, they couldn't score. St. Mary's plays a slow style of play anyway, but it was 67-57. And so, you know, if it gets into one of those, I know we'd rather have we'd rather beat them 90-80, but if it gets to be one of those 53-48 games that we just had in the second round against New Mexico State, I think that bodes well for us too. Because in those slower games that are in the 50s and 60s, people have beaten them. And St. Mary's proved that. That was kind of a recipe for them.
But
so they.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, if that's the case, it sounds like if we held them to 50 something points, then we would have taken them out of their game if they're up there in the 80s. Well, that's something that Wallace Hall made a comment about. One of the first things he mentioned was putting a chest on them that they don't they haven't bode well against some physical teams. It sounds like that's what you
exactly
were looking
right.
at.
That's right, and even you know Alabama, who had their struggles in our league, and they go up there, they don't beat them on their home court, they beat them in Seattle. And I watched that game; it was a Saturday game, and it was packed. It was a tremendous crowd for the Zags, and Alabama just went up there and out-athleted. Just were more athletic; they were flying around more, and they were more physical than those guys were. And Drew Timmy, he's a very good player. He's skilled; he can do a whole lot of stuff. You know, he is a player that. He can outsmart you. He pump fakes. He jab steps. He tips the ball in. He's always around the basket. I love Drew Timmy. He was good last year on that team they had. Now, they're good, but they're not that dominant team they had last year that was undefeated all the way to the finals. You know, they've had some bumps in the road, like the Alabama game, where a team just went at them. You know, Alabama attacked them. They were going off the dribble hard, getting in the paint, Shackelford, Quinterly. Those guys were driving the ball hard. And Arkansas has guys with JD and with Audis and some of those guys that can get to the rim, Devo, that can have a big impact on the game. I think Timmy versus Jalen Williams will be a great, great matchup if that's what coach decides to do. You can put a Stanley, you can put an Audis on Chet Holmgren. You know, he's so big, but he's super skinny, very thin. And he'll go in and post a little bit, but he also likes to face up and shoot. Those are their two best players. Luckily, they don't have a kid like Jalen Suggs like they had last year that can do everything, that's so good at everything. Their guard, we've seen a lot. Some of our players may not have seen him a lot, but you know, they're one of their better guards, Andrew Nebhardt, which is to me their best guard, played at Florida. And so we've played him probably three or four times over his career at Florida before he transferred to Gonzaga. So, you know, if that's a kid that we've got. To me, he's a good player. He's not a guy that's going to light you up for 30. He's just a good, solid, you know, all-around, pretty versatile guard.
Matt, I'm finally embracing my role on the show. There is the guy that I asked the dumb question. I asked the question that may have just been asked, and now add to that, Roger, you can't ask that question. And so I'm going to ask, and it has to do with there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. This is it. It's win and keep going out, and you're going home. How does that play into part with Musselman when it comes to playing everybody on the bench? And I don't know why I keep thinking about it, because no one here has said, Roger, just quit asking the question. When I think about using a Vanover to go in there and just get his foul out if he has to after right. playing, not necessarily playing the whole game, but just being that tall body, not necessarily big body, wide body, but tall guy, to go up there and stay in the paint and block shots, if at all possible. Is he capable of that, and does Muss have that mentality of playing everybody you can, throwing the kitchen sink at him?
Well, it's a pretty good question. Now, Coach going to do whatever he can at sure. his disposable to win. There is definitely no question about that. Now, for as far as, like, you're talking about
personnel,
Connor.
Yeah.
He hadn't played, really since January. I think it was January 18th or something against South Carolina. He just hadn't played. He hadn't played in a long time.
Yeah.
And so I doubt the coach will do that at this point, because I think he's going to try to beat them with athletes. He's going to try to beat those with, not just taking a shot at Connor, but he's going to try to beat them with athletic guys that can fly around the court and are going to be super aggressive, guys like Stanley, Debo, Audis. Or even Trey Wade that's got some size. I think Trey will have a big impact on this game, because he can beat you up and get a little physical and do some things. So, you never know. You just don't ever know who a star might be when a guy will get to come off the bench, whether it's a KK or if you're struggling to shoot, you throw Jackson in. Jackson went in when we're getting smacked pretty good in the conference tournament. He puts him in, he drills a three-pointer. So there's still guys on this team that can play. They're just not in the rotation right now, so you never question a coach.
I'm not questioning him. I mean, no. I'm not questioning coach. I'm not questioning him at all, because he obviously knows. I'm just sitting there. I guess being 5'6", 5'8", on my license, I just hate the waste of that height.
Right. Well, he's definitely tall. Connor's tall. And Connor's had a positive impact on games here before.
Sure.
He obviously did last year. So you never know when coach might – put somebody like that in. But I think this rotation's set with eight, even right now with Kamani, he's having trouble getting in. He's the eighth guy. And so, really, we've shortened it to seven. And then the other night, Chris didn't play as much as he'd been playing. So, really, it was almost a six-man rotation. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so that bench has just gotten shorter and shorter. And I think Coach wants to have his best guys out. And he don't care. If Stanley's got to play 40, he plays 40. If Audie's got to play 40, he plays 40. And them other guys, it's just hard for them to crack that court.
We're visiting with Matt Zimmerman on the Hodges Glass, Little Rock Glass Hotline. Matt, so obviously everybody loves the defensive, the way we're playing. But the concern is offense. And so, some have said there's a blueprint out there now on how you slow down this team through Tony. Through JD, rather. Talk about that, and maybe what do you do to sort of change the offensive woes that we've had recently?
I still don't think people have really figured out. I think A&M and Tennessee kind of figured out pretty good ways to guard Arkansas. But I don't think most of them really have. Even New Mexico State, they hold us to 53. But we missed, I think, between JD and also Jalen. Jalen missed a lot of shots that he normally makes around the basket. I think when you look up and there's all these guys that are struggling, I would say we missed 7 or 8 right around the rim.
Oh, no, there's no question. Layups. Yeah. No, listen, JD missed like 3 in a row that were layups.
Right. He did miss 3. Yeah. And he makes that, that's left hand for him usually. He makes that left hand scoop. But he's 5 of 18. And Jalen, as good as he played and great job on the glass, 10 of, 15 rebounds. But I was good to see him get 2 offensive boards. I mean, Jalen hadn't been on the offensive boards hardly at all.
Right.
He finally went there and got a couple of offensive rebounds, but 15 rebounds was so big. But, also Stanley, who was tremendous against Vermont, he was 3 of 10.
Right.
So Jalen and Stanley, 3 of 10 each, and throw that with JD, 5 of 18. I don't really think people have figured it out as much as I do think they figured out, hey, we're not going to foul you every time. And in our league, which is a league of let's call a lot of fouls, that benefits our style of play. I mean, we have been, especially at home, we have just eaten up people at the line. And even in the NCAA tournament, we're still, you know, the other day we go 22 of 25.
Huge. That was huge. We make, yeah, it was huge, yeah.
That was the difference in the game, right. They make six. We make 22. How about this?
Yep.
I tell you that we're going to shoot 27% from the floor, one of the worst Arkansas has ever done in the NCAA tournament, one of the worst we've ever done. 27% in an NCAA tournament game. Now, this is why maybe the upset helped us a little bit, because we shoot 27%. We get out-rebounded by 7. JD fouls out. We don't score a basket in the net in the last 6:06. We score 14 baskets for the whole game. They score 18 baskets for the whole game. Second game in a row. Right. Actually, third game in a row, counting the SEC tournament. Well, our opponent has made more buckets than we have. You add all that up, you would think that, man, we may have got beat right there in that game. No, we win the game, and you won it with defense. Yeah. You did it with just dominating the free throw battle, and you did it by forcing turnovers, 19 of them against New Mexico State's guards, who looked almost shell-shocked against the Razorbacks. Good half-court pressure defense. And those three things won the ball game: the foul shots, yep, the defense, and the turnovers. And it overcame all the other bad stuff, the offense that wasn't clicking, the shots that weren't going down, the getting out-rebounded on the glass by New Mexico State. And Arkansas finds a way to win that game. That's a huge thing. Maybe we felt a little pressure. I don't know. But you normally think, hey, the Hogs are going to score more than 53 on a New Mexico State. This is a high score. Arkansas still scores 70, you know, in almost 80 points a game. And so even against Vermont, who wants to play a little more, grind it out, beat you up, still scores 75 points. But it was a tough game. The Hogs, the best thing was they figured it out. They found a way to win. Again, just making foul shot after foul shot after foul shot. Not all teams can do that. Yeah, I got home last night, and I'm watching those. Their teams shoot brick. And Arkansas make. It's the third best free throw shooting team in Arkansas basketball history.
It's amazing, Matt, because you remember a few years ago, we were horrible at the free throw line. I guess it was 5-6 years ago. I remember we cannot make a darn free throw.
Yeah, I was coaching them.
I remember thinking, we cannot shoot free throws. I remember it. It is amazing that 22 or 25. Hey, I did want to ask this. We've been debating a little bit this morning about Coach Few and obviously his time at Gonzaga and whether or not they're blue blood. I made the comment they're blue blood for this century. Because if you look at his record, it is stunning. 633 wins. He's had 21 NCAA tournament appearances, 21 years, 36 tournament wins, 2 Final Fours, 2 championship game appearances, Sweet 16 11 times. I think he's been to Sweet 16 7 straight. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, and I think he's number one in wins percentage-wise. I mean, where does he sort of stack up, and where they stack up in the 2000s?
I like how you say that. In the 2000s, they are a blue blood. Now, they haven't won a national title, and the blue bloods have all won multiple. And so, but as far as this century, they've been really good. You know, to me, a blue blood is, you know, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, unfortunately, and Kansas, unfortunately. I don't like either one of those last two, really, at all. But those are the four blue bloods, because the history of 70, 80, 100 years, national championships, multiple Final Fours, those teams constantly winning conference championships or conference tournament championships. And Gonzaga does that. And, you know, they win their league every year. They win their conference tournament most every year. And they make deep. They've gotten now where they're making better deep runs. Remember back in the day, they were first round, second round, they were out.
Yep.
And every once in a while, it'd be a big deal. They'd get to the Sweet 16. They were out. You know, and all of a sudden, then they went to the Final Four. And then they get last year with that great team they had. You know, it's been said by a lot of people, and I sure believe it. Last year it was just like this year. It was all wide open, except for, you know, Baylor and Gonzaga are just really, really good. You don't want to run into one of them. You want to avoid one of them as long as you can. Well, unfortunately for us, we ran into Baylor in the Final Eight, and they beat us. But Gonzaga was like that. They were a tremendous team. They were big. They were athletic. They could shoot the ball. This team probably not quite as good as that team, but they're still good. And I tell you what, they're well coached. Mark Hughes never had a losing season. I used to see this graphic from my old boss, and we put it in our game notes, and we'd use it for recruiting and of the guys that coach. a head coach for 15 or more years and never had a losing season. There was about four of them on that, you know.
Yeah.
And he never has had a losing season. And Eric Musselman has the NBA, but never in college. Coach Musselman's never had a losing season in his 7 years as a head coach. So these are two coaches, got good staff. It's going to be a chess match. It's going to be a battle. They're going to go at each other. And I can't wait for Thursday. Hey, it'll be here quick, too, now.
I know.
It's Monday. This is our only day in town, the whole full day in town. I was in Buffalo for parts of 6 days, guys, Tuesday to Sunday. And that was a long time to be in Buffalo, and hopefully we'll be in San Francisco the same amount of time.
Yeah, I think I'd pick San Fran over. Roger, you and I have been to San Francisco.
Yep.
RJ, were you with us that trip?
No, I didn't make that trip.
San Diego, yeah. Listen, I loved being up there where we were overlooking. It's a beautiful area.
Lombard Street, I think is what it was, you know, with the
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that, Rog. Yeah, yeah. I think Buffalo would probably not be my number one choice, but that's why you win. When you win, you don't care. You know,
that's exactly right. guys, and our fans are so amazing. And there was, I would say, 300 Razorback fans there, diehards, 350 maybe. And that's one of the smallest I've seen ever for us. And that's how far away we were. Because, you know, Razorback fans, I think there'll be many, many more in San Francisco. Hopefully a couple thousand, maybe 3,000. I don't know
how
many
will
be able to get out there. Obviously, it's a big deal to get to the Sweet 16 and the Final Eight. Go check it out. Get there. You know, find a way to get in the building. But it was like weird. It's kind of like a warp of time because you're like, you know, here we are in the second round of the NCAA tournament. There's 300 or 400 Razorback fans here, you know. And you felt like there was going to be, you know, 8,000. But it was just a long ways to go, and it was their weather right now was beautiful while we were there for 3 days. It was beautiful, and the people from Buffalo were just so excited about having sunshine and nice days. But it was rough when we got there, and then it was rough a little bit yesterday when we left. Kind of snowing around. It was about 28 degrees in the morning there, and they're still getting through the winter, but. It was good to us, and you go 2-0. That makes you like it a whole lot better.
No doubt. Absolutely, Matt.
Before we let you go, I want to know how you. I don't know if Roger and RJ you've noticed, but you know, Coach Z does his post game recap.
Yeah.
So your post game recap, I've been watching the last few years. The last few games rather. It is all maybe the last 10 to 15 games. It's almost always exactly around 2 minutes. And 5 seconds or 2 minutes and 9 seconds.
He's really
seconds.
Got good with timing.
So the question is, I was wondering, is somebody letting you know, okay, that's 2 minutes? Or is that your internal clock doing that? Because that's pretty darn amazing.
I got two people helping me on my videos. I got Jack Fuller. He works for the athletic department. He's a Little Rock kid with the Catholic. And then on the road, I use Jack Parker. Fuller Burt is the kid from Little Rock Catholic that works here. He helps me for home games. And he does all my little... He helps me get it posted. My phone's not great, so we send the videos to him. I tell him what to say, and he does the typing, and he gets it sent out for me. That's Fuller Birch. And my camera guy is Jack Parker.
Wow.
He's got a whole production team.
He's got an entourage. You got an entourage.
Zimmerman Productions. Yeah, so somebody's saying, somebody's giving you the signal 2 minutes.
Yeah, so I guess I tell them to do. And I've had to use you know, other people who film if Jack's not around or something like that. Main thing is, let me know because I can only go 220 on a Twitter video. So, hey, let me know when it's 2 minutes, and then I just go for my own after that. So, you know, 2 minutes goes fast because I have a lot to say.
You do. You do.
Yeah.
All right,
but it's good, and it's fun, and I like the pregame one a whole lot because I kind of talk about what I think is about to happen in the game. I really like that, and all right, whether I want to talk about them or talk about us. And then after the game, it's just a recap and – But I love it. It's fun. And sometimes I see things different than you see them. Or, you know, that's basketball. That's the beauty of basketball. We can watch five players play, and I may have a different opinion than you do on four of those five guys. You know, it's just that's the beauty of basketball. And so it's been fun, and I just hope I'd love to see us play four more games, I can tell you that.
I know that's
right.
Great.
Yeah.
We're looking for that.
Coach, it'd be great for our fans. Our fans absolutely. Would love it for sure.
We've missed it. We haven't been this way. Baz has brought up the numbers as far as that goes, back to back, or all the wins that Coach has. Last thing for me, Coach, and that is, who was the one, and what was the tweet that got Mrs. Musselman all fired up?
You know, I didn't even know about Ms. Danielle's. I was traveling with him yesterday, but I missed her tweet, and then somebody said something to me and showed it to me. I didn't know. I don't know what it was. You know, they get so many you know, where you get your notice. I don't know if they look at their notifications, but where people at you or say stuff, and you know, I don't know what it was, and it may have been something small or big. I didn't go up.
All right, I know you better not. Just leave it. Listen,
hey, why are you mad about that?
Yeah, we love a woman who stands by her man.
Yeah, you're never gonna win in that game, Matt. You know, people are just, no matter what you do, that's what Twitter, social media is about. Yeah. Is people complaining, and it will never end. No matter what you do.
It's not real life.
yeah. Well, Matt, listen, I know your voice is gassed, and thank you so much for jumping on with us. We're excited to follow you guys for another week. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And listen, I loved seeing Upset on Thursday, but appreciate you jumping on with us today.
All right. Thanks, David and RJ and Roger. You guys enjoy this week and all the hype going into the game.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you, buddy.
Safe travels.
Okay.
You're the best.
Go home.